Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memra by Ram Goldar and today Masechus Bamitzia Daf Samachov, the fifth parak Ezu Neshach. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav explains why it was necessary for the Torah to write the prohibition of ribus, gezel, and onah, all of which are legally taking someone's property. If the Torah had only written ribus, one would say that's a chiddush since even the borrower is prohibited from paying interest, indicating the prohibition is not for taking someone's property. If only gezel was written, mishum de bal korche, that's because it's taken by force. If only onah was written, that may be because he does not know about the fraud to waive it, as opposed to gezel and ribus. Later, the Gemara concludes that gezel can be derived from a tzad shava between ribus and onah, and was written to prohibit kovish schar sacher, withholding an employee's wages. Although this is written explicitly, the pasuk makes him liable for a second love. The prohibition of lo signavu, you should not steal, teaches two chidushim. One may not steal amenas lemekat in order to annoy the victim until he returns it, nor in order to pay him kefil where the victim would not accept his gift. Point number two, Rav explains why the Torah mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim in connection with ribus, tzitzis, and false weights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani hu shehivchanti b'Mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor v'tipa she'eino shel bechor. I am he who discerned in Mitzrayim between a drop of semen which bore a firstborn and a drop which did not bear a firstborn, regarding machas bechoros, meaning where one woman had relations with multiple men and bore firstborns for them. So too, I am the one who will ultimately discern and punish those who lend money with interest, falsely claiming the money is the Gentiles, those who bury their weights in salt to cheat with them, and those who dyed tzitzis with indigo and claim it's tchelas. Ravina explained that Yetzias Mitzrayim was mentioned in the prohibition to eat shratzim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that just as he discerned in Mitzrayim who is a Bechor, he'll ultimately discern and punish those who mix pieces of non-kosher fish with pieces of kosher fish and sell them to a Jew. He explained that the unusual word Hama'aleh, who brought you up, teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, had I not brought up Yisrael from Mitzrayim except for this one thing, that they do not contaminate themselves by eating shratzim, it would have been enough for me. And point number three, Belezer says, ribus kutsutsi yotsuba dayanim, fixed ribus, prearranged of the original loan, is collected by the judges, meaning Basin forces the lender to refund biblically prohibited interest of the borrower. Avak ribus enu yotsuba dayanim, secondary ribus, literally the dust of ribus, meaning any ribus which is only rabbinically prohibited, is not collected by the judges. Rabbi Yochanan says that even regarding ribus kutsutsa, Basin does not force the lender to refund the interest. Three sources are provided for B'Yochan. Number one, a pasuk saying that one who ends with ribus will not live, teaches, L'misa nitan v'lo hishavon, he's subject to death by heaven, but not repayment of the interest. Number two, the pasuk says not to lend with ribus, but to fear Hashem, teaching that one who takes ribus is subject to fear of heavenly retribution, but not repayment. And number three, a pasuk compares lending with ribus to murder, teaching that just as murder cannot be undone, lending with ribus also is not subject to repayment. The next stuff explains Rabbi Elazar's source. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi explains why it was necessary for the Torah to write the prohibition of ribus, gezel, and onah, all of which are illegally taking someone's property. If the Torah had only written ribus, one would say that's a chiddush since even the borrower is prohibited from paying interest, indicating the prohibition is not for taking someone's property. If only gezel was written, mishum de bal korche, that's because it's taken by force. If only onah was written, that may be because he does not know about the fraud to waive it, as opposed to gezel and ribus. Later, the Gemara concludes that gezel can be derived from a tzad shava between ribus and onah, and was written to prohibit kovish schar sacher, withholding an employee's wages. Although this is written explicitly, the pasuk makes him liable for a second love. The prohibition of lo signavu, you should not steal, teaches two chidushim. One may not steal amenas lemekat in order to annoy the victim until he returns it, nor in order to pay him kefil where the victim would not accept his gift. Point number two, Rav explains why the Torah mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim in connection with ribus, tzitzis, and false weights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani hu shehivchanti b'Mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor v'tipa she'eino shel bechor. I am he who discerned in Mitzrayim between a drop of semen which bore a firstborn and a drop which did not bear a firstborn, regarding machas bechoros, meaning where one woman had relations with multiple men and bore firstborns for them. So too, I am the one who will ultimately discern and punish those who lend money with interest, falsely claiming the money is the Gentiles, those who bury their weights in salt to cheat with them, and those who dyed tzitzis with indigo and claim it's tchelas. Ravina explained that Yetzias Mitzrayim was mentioned in the prohibition to eat shratzim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that just as he discerned in Mitzrayim who is a Bechor, he'll ultimately discern and punish those who mix pieces of non-kosher fish with pieces of kosher fish and sell them to a Jew. He explained that the unusual word Hama'aleh, who brought you up, teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, had I not brought up Yisrael from Mitzrayim except for this one thing, that they do not contaminate themselves by eating shratzim, it would have been enough for me. And point number three, Belezer says ribbis kasusi yotze b'dayanim, fixed ribbis, prearranged of the original loan, is collected by the judges, meaning Basin forces the lender to refund biblically prohibited interest of the borrower. Avak ribbis enu yotze b'dayanim, secondary ribbis, literally the dust of ribbis, meaning any ribbis which is only rabbinically prohibited, is not collected by the judges. Rabbi Yochanan says that even regarding ribbis kasusi, Basin does not force the lender to refund the interest. Three sources are provided for Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, a pasuk saying that one who lands with ribbis will not live teaches lamisa nitan v'lo hishavon. He's subject to death by heaven, but not repayment of the interest. Number two, the pasuk says not to land with ribbis, but to fear Hashem, teaching that one who takes ribbis is subject to fear of heavenly retribution, but not repayment. And number three, a pasuk compares landing with ribbis to murder, teaching that just as murder cannot be undone, landing with ribbis also is not subject to repayment. The next daf explains Rabbi Elazar's source. All right, so now we go to our siman daf samachov, and our standard siman is a saw, and we use a magician doing the sawing a person in half trick. So here goes. The magician who sawed the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribbis, gezela, and onah, who then had some ribbis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim float magically above the sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, concluded his show by having three dayanim appear to collect ribbis katsutza. Once again, slow motion. The magician who saw the man in thirds, magician sawing a person in thirds, that must be more on daf samach aleph, saw. The magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribbis, gezela, and onah, which reminds us, Rav explains why it was necessary for the Torah to write the prohibition of ribbis, gezel, and onah, all which are illegally taking someone's property. So the magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribbis, gezela, and onah, who then had some ribbis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim float magically above a sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, which reminds us, Rav explains why the Torah mentioned Yetzias Yisraim in connection with ribbis, tzitzis, and false weights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani hu shehivchanti b'Mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor l'tipa she'eino shel bechor. I am he who discerned in Mitzrayim between a drop of semen, which bore a firstborn, and a drop which did not bear a firstborn, regarding Malchus Bechoros, meaning where one woman had relations with multiple men and bore firstborns for them. So too, I'm the one who will ultimately discern and punish those who lend money with interest, falsely claiming the money as a Gentile's, those who bear their weights in salt to cheat with them, and those who dyed tzitzis with indigo and claim it's the chelas. So the magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribbis, gezel, and onah, who then had some ribbis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim float magically above the sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, concluded his show by having three dayanim appear to collect ribbis katsutza, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar says, ribbis katsutza yotze b'dayanim, fixed ribbis, meaning prearranged at the original loan, is collected by the judges, meaning based and forces the lender to refund biblically prohibited interest of the borrower. Avak ribbis enu yotze b'dayanim, secondary ribbis, literally the dust of ribbis, meaning any ribbis which is only rabbinically prohibited, is not collected by the judges. Rabbi Yochanan says that even regarding ribbis katsutza, Basin does not force the lender to refund the interest. Three sources are provided for Rabbi Yochanan. So once again, the magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribbis, gezela, and onah, who then had some ribbis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim float magically above a sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, concluded a show by having three dayanim appear to collect ribbis katsutza. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazar. Daf nun zayin. So the simon daf nun zayin is a nose, and we use a puppet with a long nose. So here goes. The man in the Pinocchio costume, Pinocchio, that must be more on daf nun zayin. Nose. The man in the Pinocchio costume, who was Mavato's purchase of Hekdesh wood, he wanted for making a puppet when he realized he paid more than a six, which reminds us Rabbi Ami was quoted as asking, Ona ein lahem. The Mishnah taught that certain categories are not subject to Ona. Bitul mekoch yesh lahem or ein lahem. Are they subject to the law avoiding the sale for a discrepancy greater than a six or not? He was later quoted as having concluded that they are subject to bitul mekoch. Rabbi Yochanan ruled similarly, but Amoraim argued about which category he was discussing. Rabbi Yonah said a hekdeshos, he was speaking about hekdesh, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said a karkos, he was speaking about land. So the man in the Pinocchio costume, who was Mavato's purchase of hekdesh wood he wanted for making a puppet, when he realized he paid more than a six, who was then told he had to make up the difference when he was machal his prize cow, which got blemished onto an inferior cow, with a long nose, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that if someone is machal a hekdesh animal, which is blemished and invalid as a carbon, with an animal of lesser value, it becomes chulun, but he must make up its full value. Rabbi Yochanan says the chilul is biblically effective and he must make up the difference rabbinically. Reish Lakish says he is biblically required to make up the difference. So the man in the Pinocchio costume, who was Mavato's purchase of hektish wood he wanted for making a puppet, when he realized he paid more than a six, who was then told he had to make up the difference when he was Machal his prized cow, which got blemished onto an inferior cow with a long nose, was on his way to do a puppet show called Ribbis Does Not Apply to Hektish, which reminds us, Abraisa taught that the prohibition of ribbis, interest, does not apply to hektish. The Gemara wonders what the case is. Rav Hoshaya explained, the cases where someone agreed to supply fine flour to the mikdash at a price of 4 saw per sella before a market price was established, and the price went up to 3 saw per sella, giving the impression that the buyer, meaning hektish, received a better price for its advance payment. This is prohibited for ordinary people, but permitted for hektish. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. The Baal Tshuva Shliach, who was upset when he lost the shkolim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo, that must be on Daf Nun Ches, Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. The Baal Tshuva Shliach, who was upset when he lost the shkolim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvu that he wasn't negligent, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the din is when the shkolim are sent with shluchim and are then lost or stolen, and the difference if they're lost before the Trumas Alushka or afterwards. So the Baal Tshuva Shliach, who was upset when he lost the shkolim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvu that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, "Hey, remember your past deeds," which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Keshem she'onah b'mekoch memkar," just as there's onah in buying and selling, "kach onah b'dvarim," so too there's onah with words. The Mishnah gives several illustrations. One should not ask a merchant for an item's price if he has no intention to buy it. And one should not tell a Baal Tshuva, "Zuchor ma'asecha rishonim," remember your past deeds. So the Baal Tshuva Shliach, who was upset when he lost the shkolim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvu that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, "Hey, remember your past deeds," was rebuked by Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, who said, "Onas Dvarim is worse than Onas Mamon," which reminds Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, "Gadol Onas Dvarim me Onas Mamon." Verbal wronging is a greater sin than monetary wronging, because the Torah writes V'yareis me'alkalcha concerning the former and not the latter. Rabbi Elazar says that Onas Dvarim is worse because it harms a person's self and the other only harms his money. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says that monetary onah is nitan l'hishavon, subject to possible repayment, but Onas Dvarim cannot be undone. Daf Nun Tes. So the Simmer Daf Nun Tes is a knight. So here goes. The knight, that must be on Daf Nun Tes. The knight who came home after being embarrassed in public for wearing his armor out in the street, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said, "Nokol admish yabal asafik eshes ish," is better for a person that he had relations with someone who is possibly married, while yabim pnei chaveru barabim, rather than shame his fellow in public. A similar statement, "Nokol admish yapil atzmo kivshin eish," it's better for a person that he fling himself into a fiery furnace, while yabim pnei chaveru barabim, rather than embarrass his fellow in public. This can be demonstrated from Tamar, who was willing to be executed by burning rather than shame Yehuda in public. So, the knight who came home after being embarrassed in public for wearing his armor out in the street spoke harshly to his wife, who easily started to cry, which reminds us, Rav said, "Lo'om yehi adam zar ba'onas ishto," a person must always be careful about offending his wife, "shematosh dimasa matsuya onasa krova," because since her tears come easily, the punishment for offending her is close by to come. Later, Rabbi Chelbo said, "Lo'om yehi adam zar b'kvod ishto," a person must always be careful about his wife's honor, "she'ein brach matsuya b'tok beiso shel adam el b'shvil ishto," because brach is only found in a person's house because of his wife, as the pasuk says, "Avram hitiv ba'avura," and he treated Avram well because of Sarah, and the Marsha explains, the pasuk is darshan to refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the knight who came home after being embarrassed in public for wearing his armor out in the street, spoke harshly to his wife, who easily started to cry. When he asked her how a carob tree landed in their oven next to a caved-in wall, and why a stream was flowing backwards through their kitchen, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, with Rabbi Yezer attempting to prove that the halacha goes according to him, using a carob tree, a stream flowing backwards, walls caving in, and a baskel. And Rabbi Yeshua's response of, "Lo b'shamayim hi." Daf Samach. So the Simmer Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers, that must mean we're on Daf Samach. The happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Ein ma'arvin peros b'peros," sellers may not mix produce from one field into produce from another field when selling in produce on the second field, even if both grains are equally new, and he certainly cannot mix new grain into old grain for a purchase of old grain, which produces more flour. One may mix strong wine into mild wine where mild wine has been purchased, because the strong wine improves it. So the happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, and put stickers on the nut packages to encourage children to come, which reminds us in the next mission of Yehuda says, a storekeeper may not distribute toasted grain or nuts to the children because he accustoms them to come to him. The chami permit it, which the Gemara explains, is because the other storekeepers can offer other treats such as figs. So the happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, and put stickers on the nut packages to encourage children to come, had two big red frowning Neshach and Tarbi stickers pasted to a shop where a man lent money with interest. Which reminds, the Gemara concludes that the rice and Neshach and Tarbi's chad milsihi, and Rava says that the Torah only divided them into two terms, lavor labishne lavin, so that one should be liable for violating two prohibitions for these two concepts. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf did we learn that Neshach and Tarbi's are midaraisa the same? That's on daf Samech. Good. Number two, which daf did we learn why Yetzis Nisraim was written by Ribbis, Tzitzis, False Weights, and Shratzim? That's on daf Samachov. Good. Number three, which stuff do we have the mice of Rebbe Eliezer and the Tanur Shel Achnai? That's on daf Nuntas. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn about Rebbe Meir's position regarding one who deviates from the procedure for Gittin? That's on daf Nunhei. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn why the Torah wrote a separate love for Gezel, Ribbis, and Onah? That's on daf Samachov. Good. Number six, which daf do we discuss taking maisa on bread purchased from a nachtam made in different shapes? That's on daf Nunbav. Good. Number seven, which daf do we have machlokas if ribbis katsutsa yotz b'dayanim, whether it's collected by the dayanim? That's on daf Samachov. Good. Number nine, which daf do we learn that onaz advarim is worse than onaz mamon? That's on daf Nunches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that someone who exchanges hektish for something less valuable must make up the difference? That's on daf Nunzayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.